If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. It's been some time since we've been together. I'm sure all of you have had a good holiday, I hope, and back refreshed, re-energized, and ready to start the new school year. Whether you're parents of learners or learners yourselves or wherever you are, whatever you are, I hope you've had a good holiday. My holiday wasn't altogether that good. I was asked to visit the Sydney community in Australia during the week of its horrific, horrific tragedy. And I went across, spent close to 10 days there, and saw community incredible shock and trauma. What happened over there is simply unthinkable, and a stark reminder of the unbelievable anti-Semitism that exists. People simply couldn't come to terms with the fact that something so unbelievable happened in a place like Bondi Beach, which is a place of openness, a place of entertainment, a place of enjoying. And it happened right there. Jews and Lahavdil non-Jews were horrified at the fact that something like this could happen. But as I said, it's a stark reminder of the world that we live in. There are people who, unfortunately, are driven by hate to the point that they are prepared to act out their hate in the most terrible sort of way, to pick up weapons and to shoot innocent people, men, women, children, infants. And this is the way they behave. It's a world that is in so many ways dark, and it's our duty to bring light into that world. And I saw a community desperately trying to bring light into the world. It was during the week of Hanukkah. And every single night, thousands of people gathered at the public menorah lighting on Bondi Beach. Huge crowds, everyone coming together, being present while the candles were being kindled. It was a demonstration of not only recognizing the tragedy that took place, but a great desire to bring light. This is our job. This is our duty. This is what we have to do in this world. Yes, there are those who live a life of darkness, a life of hate, with murderous intent. But we continue. We carry on. That was the story of Hanukkah. That's the story of our survival. That's the story of the Jewish people. And it's a story, unfortunately, that happens again and again. But we don't tire. We don't give up. We continue to bring light and to share that light and try as best we can to make this world a better place, and we do. May God bless all of us, each and every one of us, each and every single community in the Holy Land of Israel and throughout the entire diaspora, to bring us safety, to bring us unity, and to bring light. Also, a huge mazel tov to all the Jewish matriculants who've done so exceptionally well in all the schools. The papers were full. Mazel tov, you've done well. And may you now continue in a good way and bring much nachas to your parents, to your schools, to your communities, and continue in whatever you're going to do in your studies, in your work, whatever it is you're going to do, to continue in good health and with much joy, and continue to bring nachas to our wonderful community. It's the Shabbos Mevorchim. We're going to bless the new month of Shvat. Rosh Chodesh is on Monday. And as always, Rosh Chodesh is a great day of joy. As you've heard me say so many times, the moon reappears after total darkness at night. The moon was invisible. Suddenly, that thin sliver of light reappears, and light begins to grow. And Shvat is an interesting and exciting month. It's the 11th month of the year on the Jewish calendar. And 11 is an incredibly important number. 11 represents that which is beyond 10. 10 is the number of perfection, of wholeness. The world was created with 10. 10 is that number which represents everything that's important, the Ten Commandments. 10 is the number of perfection. 11? 11 is beyond perfection. What's beyond perfection? Beyond perfection are those greater energies that are, well, beyond our ability normally to use, to receive, and to implement, to apply in our lives. The number 11 is something which gives us a type of power and strength which is incredibly great. This is the month of Shvat. The month of Shvat is beyond perfection, beyond all our normal human abilities. God gives us a gift, a strength, an ability which is so incredibly great. We're able to accomplish incredible things. This is the month that we are able to reach the 11th dimension. It's the 11th month. What makes it so special? We read in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Devarim, the last of the five books of the Torah, that's on the first day of this month, Moshe began to teach the Jewish people a review of the entire Torah. And he started teaching the review on the first of the month of Shvat. And it lasted onto the 7th of Adar, the day that Moshe physically left the world. Now, the review of the Torah wasn't simply reviewing all the laws and everything that happened. The review was bringing another dimension into the Torah as well. The Jewish people knew the Torah. They studied it every single day since the Torah was given. The review was bringing another greater dimension into the Torah. When we study the Torah, there is the concept of reviewing that which we study. Reviewing that which we study is not simply parroting that which we learned yesterday, but the review brings new insight, new understanding, a new vision into that which we learned yesterday. Moshe tells the people that although he will be physically leaving the world, and they're going to be led into the promised land by his disciple Joshua, he's going to give them a gift, the gift of the book of Deuteronomy, a review of the Torah, to open their eyes and their minds and their hearts to a new dimension within the Torah that they already knew. He is going to show them new insights, new greatness, new dimensions of Torah. And that begins on the first day of Shvat. Shvat is that month that each and every single day, new vistas, new visions of greatness in Torah is given to us by none other than Moshe himself, the great review of Torah. Not only did Moshe bring down the Ten Commandments and the Torah at Sinai, not only did Moshe teach the Torah to the Jewish people throughout their entire existence in the wilderness over a period of 39 years, he also gave them the gift of the review of Torah, opening it up further, expanding the dimensions of this incredible divine wisdom to something which was far greater and something which was far more profound. This is the gift that he gave us and continues to give us. As our sages tell us, as he served us then, so he serves us and guides us now as well. It's the 11th month. It's the 11th dimension. It's the great review of Torah. This is what the month of Shvat is all about. And this is why when we bless the new month of Shvat, it's not only blessing another month, It's not only on Monday we're going to rejoice and say Hallel and Devon Musaf. It's not only recognizing the reappearance of the moon with that glimmer, with that thin, thin line of light. It's the recognition that this is an extraordinary month. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about the month of Shvat. And as mentioned, Shvat is an extraordinary month because it's the 11th month, the 11th dimension, which is beyond perfection. It's a type of energy that normally humans can't reach. But this month, the 11th month, God gives us that incredible 11th dimension. The energy, the power to do something which is beyond our normal abilities. And interestingly, each and every month, as I often told you, has a particular action that is connected with that month. And the action that is connected with the month of Shvat is the act of eating. And you think to yourself, eating? That's such an ordinary, well, necessary, but ordinary action. Why is that act or action connected with such a special month of Shvat? Yes, eating sustains us, nurtures us. Without eating, God forbid, a person can't survive, a person can't live. But why use eating, or why is eating the action that is connected to the month of Shvat? And our Kabbalistic teachers tell us something very profound. Eating not only is a physical act that binds body and soul, that keeps us alive. Eating is an act that enables us to take material things, the food that we eat, and to transform it into something spiritual. When we eat and we use the energy that we derive from that food for a higher and better purpose, when we make a bracha, a blessing, before we eat, and when we say grace, Birkat HaMazon, or the shorter version, after we eat, not only have we fulfilled a mitzvah commandment, but the actual food that we eat has been elevated from a purely material, physical state into a spiritual state. And eating becomes a metaphor for all things physical. And therefore, when a person begins to use the material and physical things around him for a higher and better purpose, to fulfill the will of God, to elevate and sanctify the name of God, to use the energy that comes about as a result of using those material things for a better and higher purpose, he transforms the physical into spiritual. And as I say, just tell us, our Chabad teachers teach us that God gives us physical things and we return those physical things to him as spiritual things. And that's the beauty, that's the strength, that's the greatness, that's the power of the month of Shvat, the 11th month. The ability to take the physical, to transform it, to uplift it into something spiritual, and to return it to God. That is the strength and power that we have. You know, very often people think that we are mundane creatures, physical creatures, living upon this earth, yes, on a bit of a higher level than animals, but basically not much. We are completely different. We are creatures that God has made to transform this world into not only a better place, but an altogether different place. We have the capacity and the ability, the duty and responsibility to change this physical world into a spiritual place. And we can do that by using the material things correctly. Not by escaping into a spiritual dimension. Not by leaving the physical world behind us, but by using it correctly. That is the metaphor of eating That's the action of the month of Shvat, the 11th dimension. And this blends into the Parsha of the week as well. The Parsha of the week is Va'era. Va'era begins with a bit of a troubling conversation between God and Moses. At the end of last week's Parsha, Moses challenges God. He says, "Why have you mistreated your people so badly? You asked me to come and tell them that redemption is about to happen. And this is what I told them. And instead of making their lives easier, Pharaoh imposes far greater dimensions of slavery upon them." What does God reply? That's the opening sentence of this week's Parsha. He rebukes Moshe. He says to Moshe, "I have appeared to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I have revealed my name, Kel Shakai, to them, God Almighty. But my four-letter name of God, I didn't make known to them." In other words, he's saying, they never challenged me. Even though I didn't fully reveal myself to them, they never challenged me. And yet you do challenge me. Why? But it begs the question. Moshe was the ultimate believer in God. Moshe, in a sense, is the most perfect Jew in all of history. He is the one who's chosen by God to deliver the Jews from Pharaoh, from Egypt, from slavery to freedom. He is the one who spends months in heaven negotiating with God to bring the Torah down to the Jewish people. He brings the Ten Commandments down on Mount Sinai. He is the one who leads the people out of Egypt. He is the one who guides them through 40 years in the wilderness. Moshe? Moshe is the most perfect of all prophets. He is the most perfect of all Jews. How is it, actually, that he challenges God by saying, "Why have you mistreated your people so?" This is, in a sense, unbecoming to the behavior of Moshe. And here, too, we have to turn to the wisdom and guidance of our Hasidic and Kabbalistic teachers to understand what, in fact, is taking place, what he's saying to God, and what God is saying to him. Moshe comes from the dimension of Chachma, of wisdom, within the spiritual structures of creation. The patriarchs come from the emotional dimensions. Abraham represents chesed, kindness. Yitzchak represents gevurah, severity. Jacob represents tiferet, truth and beauty. They represented perfection in all those areas. Moshe represents wisdom. And as such, he's not challenging God. He's simply saying to God, "It's necessary for me to understand what is taking place. My soul comes from the dimension of Chachma, of wisdom. And because my soul comes from wisdom, and that's why I have the ability of bringing the Torah down to the Jewish people, because Torah is the wisdom of God, and I have the capacity to receive it and to teach it to the people, I have to understand your actions here as well." And here we are given an insight into what divine revelation is all about when God responds to Moshe. There are different dimensions of revelation. There's the revelation that God gives to Moshe and that he gives to the patriarchs. He says to the Moshe, "The patriarchs, I didn't reveal my total identity to them. It was limited. My four-letter name, the essence of God, I didn't make known to them. Because they were the perfection of the emotional dimensions of Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet. You come from Chachma. And therefore, Emuna, faith, has different applications as well. A person whose life is based upon a true and powerful and sincere emotional relationship with God, it's easier for him to have faith in God, whatever challenge there is. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, despite the fact that God challenged them with huge, huge, huge tests, huge challenges, their faith was always there because of their emotional relationship. The faith was always present. Moshe, on the other hand, he had to understand. And his faith had to kick in after he understood. What Hashem is saying to him, there are certain things that can't be understood. At least not now. There are certain things which are beyond human understanding. And one of them is the difficulties that people go through. People often ask, why does this happen? Why does this happen? On a personal level, on a national level, why do these tragedies occur? And there are so many. And it's a legitimate question. But sometimes we have to accept that there are certain things that are beyond human capacity to understand. Even Moshe. Moshe was told, you understand everything. But this, at this moment, is beyond understanding. Even though the revelation that you have is far greater than the revelation that the patriarchs had, you won't understand it. And therefore, your faith has to kick in at this moment. It wasn't a real rebuke. It was an insight into the combination of faith and understanding at the level of Moshe, which is a complex and powerful, powerful concept of faith. To the individual who wants to understand everything, faith is a great challenge, because he doesn't want to use faith when he can understand. And that's something which is so important. And this is why in life, the issues of trying to understand that which can't be understood is something which plagues us. It's something which, in a sense, gives us restless, restless feelings. On the one hand, we yearn to know, but at the same time, we know we can't. And yet we know that the ways of Hashem are just and correct and truthful and proper and fair. And this is where our faith comes in. And what's the prayer that we say, the graveside, Tzedakah Din? We justify the judgment of God. We don't understand it often. In fact, more than often, we don't understand these things. But then again, understanding is not necessarily the only way we can receive these things or come to terms with these things. And this is what Parshas Va'era is all about, in a sense. The idea of the plagues that follow to crush the might of Pharaoh and Egypt and to uplift the spiritual status of the Jewish people is a profound lesson in the developmental stages of greater faith. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about the whole process of developing faith, how a person who is rooted in the emotional dimensions of life, as were the patriarchs, to whom faith is something which is within reach, and to the person who is rooted within the intellectual dimensions of life, such as Moses, that he has to work harder in order to achieve that faith. And this is so true, because faith is not something which comes instantly. Emunah is something that has to be worked for. And we see that in the Parsha as well. Because in this week's Parsha, the plagues that God sent upon Egypt, Mitzrayim, the Makot, it didn't happen instantly. It's not that God crushed Pharaoh in Egypt instantly. One by one, 10 miraculous, extraordinary events. The blood, the frogs, the wild animals, the darkness. One more powerful than the next. And each one opened up another dimension of God's greatness. Pharaoh didn't just jump up and say, yes, God is good, let the Jewish people go. Because the moment God removed the effects of the plague, his heart was hardened because he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to accept the greatness of God. He wasn't really ready to let the people go. He certainly wasn't prepared to let the people go to recognize the one God in the desert and to receive the Torah. And on a parallel, neither were the Jews. The Jews had to also witness this incredible process of the plagues and to see the miracles of God happening one by one and slowly changing the entire understanding of the world so that their faith could grow. Because emunah, faith, is something which grows by recognizing one miracle after the other. There are different types of miracles. There's a miracle which changes everything dramatically in one moment. You take the crossing of the sea. In one moment, this incredible miracle takes place. The Israelites go into the dry land. The Egyptians come in, and the water closes on them. But the miracle of the plagues took place over a full year. One event after another event, after another event, after another event. And each one removed more and more of the darkness, and each one introduced more and more of the divine light. This is what the Parsha is all about. The process and development of emunah, of faith. Because emunah grows. As children we have faith, and as intelligent adults we have faith. Our faith grows as does our emotional development and as our intellect grows. The faith of today is not the faith of yesterday. What we believed in yesterday, we understand today, and therefore our faith has to grow beyond. And that's what this parsha is all about. And that's what this month is all about, the 11th dimension. And this month is a month of great blessing, because the tribe that is connected with the month of Shvat is Asher. And his harvest, his fruit, had tremendous, tremendous blessing. That's his name, Asher, blessing. And when you take a look at the Haftarah of this Shabbos, of this Parsha, it comes from the prophet Ezekiel Yecheskel, who has this glorious language of describing things, and it opens up by saying that when God will come to redeem the Jewish people, the nations of the world, all the nations of the world will recognize his greatness, his glory. Something which is so important. We look at the world today, and we think to ourselves, why can't a miracle just happen and everything just snaps into place and the world becomes perfect? No, the world has to recognize the glory of Hashem. And if you look carefully at the world, slowly, that's happening. Yes, as I mentioned earlier on, there are those who are devoted to hate and darkness, but many are beginning to recognize the hand of God in everything. How things change for the better. the light of God, the greatness of God, the purpose of the Jewish people, the greatness of the Jewish people, the purpose of their exile, the purpose of why they've gone through, and how Hashem is guiding each and every single step. So that's why when you're in shul tomorrow, be in shul, not only will you bless the new month of Shvat, and the 11th month, and the great energy, the great beyond perfection that comes with it. Listen to the parsha carefully, how God speaks to Moshe and tells him the difference between the root of his soul and the root of the soul of the patriarchs. And this is why they didn't question, but he did question. Listen to God as he speaks to Moshe and tells him how to prepare for his encounter with Pharaoh. Listen to each and every single one of the plagues, the seven plagues that are described so magnificently in this parsha, and how each and every one brings out a different dimension of God's greatness, of God's majesty, and how it slowly but surely crushes the might and power and arrogance of Pharaoh and Egypt and all that it represents throughout the ages and to this present day. Listen carefully. Listen to the Haftarah as Ezekiel speaks about the great moments of God fulfilling his promise, and how the nations of the world interact with each other and they see the hand of God in everything. And listen carefully, as I always tell you, to that one statement that resonates within you. And listen carefully, because you will hear it, and when you will hear it, you know it's meant for you. And when it's meant for you, you will hear guidance, you will hear blessing, you will hear something special that is tailored directly for something that you need, for something that you want, for something that will bring you greater insight and deeper faith. It's Shabbos Mevarchim. It's a month that we bless, and we get blessed with extraordinary blessings. Good Shabbos.